Thank you, Mr. Mosavice. And good afternoon, everybody. Nice to be here once again to see you. I know that we only get to see each other about twice a year, but I get to see others during the year, but I mean, it's usually around two times a year. Now, today we're observing the Feast of Trumpets, and that song was pretty good, pretty appropriate for this message. We're observing the Feast of Trumpets, a holy convocation commanded by God in Leviticus 23, 24, where we find most of the, or all of the feast that God has commanded us to keep. So let's go there. Let's start with Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. It's Leviticus 23, 24, but we'll start on verse 23. It's part of the sentence. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." So we see that it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And in ancient Israel, these marked joyful, urgent, and also solemn occasions. And the Feast of Trumpets is significant to us as God's people because our focus is on the return of Christ. And also it's the fourth step in God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. So it is also significant to the world. Only the world doesn't know yet. And it won't be welcome in Christ when he returns. So this afternoon, we'll focus on the significance of the feast as it applies to the world, as it relates to the world, because the fulfillment of this day is the only hope of mankind. You know, as we know, this nation and the world keeps getting worse and worse. We all know that. We see it in the news. We hear it. We feel it. And So it keeps getting worse and worse every day. Now, back when God started the nation of Israel, it wasn't long before people were asking Samuel for a king. And you know, they had God for a king. But like the rest of the nations, they wanted a king. And God warned them about it. But God heard all this and told Samuel, "Don't worry, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They have rejected me." So man's government, starting with the Babylonian Empire and all the way to Roman Empire and to the world's governments today, are all under the control of Satan. We know that this is Satan's world. He's the god of this world. Now, throughout history, we have seen man's governments and have not been able to bring lasting peace and happiness to people, and have not been able to solve the world problems, which keep mounting. Because the world rejects God, they have not learned the way to peace, says God. As a result, we continue to see wars, hatred, suffering, injustices, destruction in our nation and the world. In Isaiah, the first chapter, God, talking through the prophet Isaiah, tells Judah that the whole nation is sick. God compares the nation of Judah, although he talks to Israel as well, but in this chapter here, talks to Judah. He compares Judah like a sick person that is sick from the soles of his foot, of his feet, to the top of his head. In other words, from the people being governed, or the population, to the government itself, or the leaders. He tells them the whole body is full of wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that are not being treated or healed. Now, by this, he means that their social problems are not being addressed and solved. We can see that still in our country and the world. But these problems continue to get worse. And we can see that this really sounds like our nation. Back in 1965, and Harlingen has heard this, but I brought it up in 1965, a protest song came up and sung by Barry McGuire. The older people might have heard it. Or maybe it's not your kind of music, but it was very popular back then, 1965. I was 18 years old. And it sang about that, the same problems that we face today, but now they're even worse. And the title of the song was Eve of Destruction, because the writer of this song saw all the things that were happening around at that time, and he saw that destruction was near, because there were really bad things happening in the 60s. So he saw in the song, he saw the hypocrisy of the or within the government, because they were sending 18-year-olds to fight in Vietnam, but the voting age was 21, so they couldn't vote. And later on, it was changed to 18. But they were being sent out to fight and kill in Vietnam, and he saw that as hypocrisy within the government. Now, he also mentioned the hypocrisy of Americans, of the people, with a line that said, hate your next-door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. So Americans hating each other, but being religious. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees and Sadducees for their religious hypocrisy, as you remember. And, you know, this is still going on in our country. The song talks about also the hatred about Red China to the United States. As Red China, it was known as Red China before, and had a hatred for the United States. Now, recently, China has challenged the United States because the United States is planning on sending or deploying a missile defense system to South Korea so they can defend themselves against North Korea. And it's not sitting well with China, and Russia has joined in also. They don't like it. So another thing that song mentions is the fear of nuclear war in an exchange with the Soviet Union back then or other communist countries. And of course, there are more issues that this song was covering, and you must hear it. I mean, you can download it. I've mentioned it to Harlinger. I don't know if anybody did, but all these things that he mentions there are still here with us today, but have gotten worse. Like the threat of nuclear destruction, it has multiplied. And because today, there are 9 countries that have nuclear capability or nuclear weapons. And between the 9, they have like from 16,000 to 20,000 weapons. Now, in Matthew 24, Christ said that just as it was in the days of Noah, so would it be when he returned. Noah announced the flood was coming and preached righteousness for 120 years. But people scoffed and didn't pay attention, and we know what happened. As Christ said, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and took them all away. Now, in other words, they continued with normal everyday activity, unconcerned for what was coming. And this same attitude remains with us today. 51 years ago, this attitude was prevalent because the point of this song was that nobody was really paying attention. Nobody was concerned. As one of the chorus verse of that song that I'm telling you about says, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. And nobody did. Even me. I mean, I was 18 years old. I heard the words of the song. I thought the song was pretty good. I liked the sound of it. But I wasn't really paying attention to all the problems, all the words he was saying. And till now, you know, I mean, you can go back and look at it. And it's really as if it's still as if he's singing the song to us today, because it's the same, only it has gotten worse. Now, in chapters 8, 9, and 11 in the book of Revelation, 7 trumpets are blown, one at a time, not together, but one at a time. The first 6 trumpets signal terrible judgments on the earth in chapters 8 and 9 of Revelation. The first one blows, and a third of the earth vegetation is destroyed. The second one blows, and one-third of the sea, one-third of the living creatures in the sea, and one-third of the ships are destroyed. With the third one, one-third of rivers and springs were made bitter, and many people died as a result of this. And so the fourth and fifth trumpets blow and keep bringing more terrible destruction, including the stars, the sun, and the moon, losing one-third of their brightness, of their light. Now, it would seem that after all this, men would repent and turn to God. Let's go now to Revelation 9 for the sixth trumpet. Revelation 9. We're seeing the events that were back then and that we have now, and how they're getting worse and worse. And we're a lot closer to this day that we're celebrating or observing today. We'll read Revelation 9. We'll read verses 13 through 21. 13 through 21. Verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. And verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. In verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent, and of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. In verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So we see how incredible it is. After going all through all this destruction and death, and they still don't repent. And man continues to be on this path of destruction, still trusting in man and not in God. In our nation, many believe that if they can just put the right person in office at the White House, the social problems, political problems, and moral problems will be solved and peace will come. Well, for those that believe that, they have two excellent candidates this year to choose from this November. And aren't you glad that we don't have to make that choice? So to conclude, we have seen that by rejecting God, man has brought misery, pain, death, destruction upon themselves, and hopelessness, terrible judgments also of God on the earth. So there seems to be no hope for mankind. But then the seventh trumpet blows. Let's go to Revelation 11, just a few pages over. Revelation 11. We'll read verse 15. My subtitle says, seventh trumpet, the kingdom proclaimed. In verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So we see that the return of Christ is the hope of all mankind, in spite of man. Mankind is losing the battle, and there's hopelessness. People can feel the hopelessness, and they're depending on one person to get all this, you know. And that's only in our nation, but it's around the world. Same thing, the governments are the same all over. So the last trump when Christ returns to set up his kingdom and his righteous government, in spite of man, as I said, will be, is the only hope of mankind. So may the meaning of this feast be fulfilled soon.